In the darkest corners of the internet, a nameless, formless entity has been growing. No one dares question where it was created or what it wants, but those who have been entranced by its musings chant its blood-curdling name in unison. Horror Movie Night!
Find Horror Movie Night on your favorite podcasting app or at hmnpodcast.com.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City! Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
Spatula City, we sell spatulas, and that's all.
All right, Matt, we're back with the second and final skit on the UHF soundtrack, Spatula City. It's an advertisement for a spatula outlet store. It was the only thing recorded during the fourth session of the album, which seems so weird. Seems like a real waste of a day in a lot of ways. And as I did with Gandhi 2, got to give a shout out now to M.G. Kelly, who did the announcer voice for Spatula
yes.
City. As far as I know, no relation.
But hey, can we, Matt, if you can flex your Kelly muscle and get MG Kelly real quick to join us here.
I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do.
Something that I noticed with this, and I'm not sure about you, this is a little bit different than the ad that shows up in the movie. It cuts out the opening part of the ad with the family realizing that they need a spatula.
Oh, yes. It just goes right to the Spatula City, and then the music starts. Yeah.
Where Gandhi 2 is like verbatim, it is ripped straight from the movie.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and this is, as we sort of alluded to when we were talking about Gandhi 2, this as a sketch, and it's funny because I feel like on paper this should work less well.
Yeah.
There are so many cutaways here. There are so many switches to the different occasions when he would give someone a spatula. We get the amazing cut to the guy, the owner of the company, giving his little, like, very monotone praise for his spatula.
You mean Sly Greenblum?
Sly Greenblum. Thank you. I didn't have his name. Yeah. Who liked the product so much, he bought the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it needs, like, I'm oddly surprised that it works so well. This, I think, actually really does just work as a sketch on an album, at least for me.
So you mentioned with Gandhi 2 that these felt like Quentin Tarantino drops in his soundtrack.
Yes.
I think what makes Spatula City work where Gandhi 2 doesn't is that Spatula City feels like the comedy sketch that you could find on like a De La Soul album or like any other album that has these weird, like a Bloodhound Gang release or like any of those like kind of goofy albums that they would do these like 30-second weird sketches. It just fits in a way of being like an interruption to the middle of the album.
Yeah.
In the way that Gandhi doesn't, because Gandhi does feel way more like, I almost just wish that they I wish that Gandhi 2 wasn't just the audio essentially ripped out of the scene from the movie and that they had reworked it to sound like a radio trailer promo ad. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Where this does feel like a radio ad that you could have heard while driving in your car in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that. It actually does read as a radio ad in a different way. You would never hear the trailer for Gandhi 2 audio only like that. But this does make sense. Even in the weird moments where you can tell there should be a visual element you don't get. You know, when it like the music cuts and it's like, and what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula? And it cuts to the very tender, like romantic music. Like you can get listening to it that like, oh, there's definitely a visual element to this that I'm not seeing, but you kind of just don't care because it still works.
The other thing that works so hard, so much, and I think it actually is more noticeable to me listening to it than when I watch the actual commercial, is that the random voices kind of get more manic as they're yelling Spatula City throughout it. Like, because the first one's just like, Spatula City, Spatula City. And then by the time you get to like the third one, it's like, Spatula City! Like, it's just like... Like, they're just, they're, you could write a whole thesis of what's happening behind the scenes with the guys recording those Spatula City yells when listening to the track. And then, of course, you do get the little jingle. Spatula City, we sell spatulas. And that's all.
Like, ba-dum-bum.
In the darkest corners of the internet, a nameless, formless entity has been growing. No one dares question where it was created or what it wants, but those who have been entranced by its musings chant its blood-curdling name in unison. Horror Movie Night!
Find Horror Movie Night on your favorite podcasting app or at hmnpodcast.com.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
I'll tell you what, that little jingle is genius.
Oh, it's so good.
That very end, I mean, honestly, like, if there was anything, like, that's the reason this has to be on this record.
Yes.
That little jingle at the very end, that, like, 4 second long little bit of music is so fun. It's so fun. Yeah, I mean, and it's just, again, we're talking about, like, this is a style parody, but it is a style parody of the local, not infomercial, but a commercial for like a local small business. And like these ads that, you know, I know, I'm sure you and I both grew up seeing these all the time. And I don't see them so much anymore, although I know they exist because every once in a while something goes viral on YouTube or TikTok and everyone is enamored with them again. Of course, I'm thinking immediately of the living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes. Oh, yeah. You know, like,
well, there's the funeral home one that my one buddy showed me where the corpse.
Yes, I think
jumps,
you sent me that.
Yeah, jumps out of the casket.
Yes.
It costs how much? that price is high enough to raise the dead.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly.
There's a whole mini doc that I'm sure you can find. And before this episode's over, I will finish Googling and find out what it's called. But it was an Ohio furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was these very abstract commercials where he just hired local college film students to make his commercials. And it will literally be like a woman giving birth. And all of a sudden it cuts to underneath the apron, and it's just the owner of the store's head pops out between two fake legs. And he's just like, come to my store. If you can't get credit approval here, you can't get credit approval anywhere. Like, and that was like his catchphrase.
See, this is, there's something so, again, I know we've actually talked about it a lot in the context of this album because it's just the nature of UHF. But yeah, I know you and I are both big fans of just general like B movies and super low budget content from over the years. And it's because there's something so, so charming about someone with no money or talent trying their absolute hardest to make something like this out of like the little bit, like, we got to promote our business. What can we do to be clever? What can we do to stand out? And people come up with these like little like songs or concepts or whatever it is to try to get people's attention.
Yeah.
And
here, I'll show
it's
you.
Rare.
It's Norton Furniture. You can look up Norton Furniture commercials.
Good news for people that have credit problems. Norton Furniture is here for you. Now, seriously, if you can't get credit in my store, you can't get credit anywhere. My name is Mark, and you can count on it.
See, I mean, that's the best. That's the best. It's funny. I just was talking to a friend about this. Could potentially be a huge tangent, and I don't want to go down it too much. But I just was on a plane, and on the plane, I watched Cocaine Bear.
Yes.
Which I did not particularly care for.
I was very, for how much people loved it, I was very let down by Cocaine Bear.
And the reason why is because it is so, so difficult to fake. It's so difficult to do a fake bad movie, right? Because
yes.
I think that's what they were trying to do. You're trying to do, and you wind up with, again, not to, hey, whatever you like is fine by me, but it reminded me a lot of like Snakes on a Plane or Sharknado or any of these movies that like, if you are trying to make a movie that's so bad it's good, that's,
well, that's
a paradox.
That's why Troll 2 is still talked about in a loving way, in the way that Sharknado has already come and gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
different. Also, for the Norton Furniture, if you check out some of their stuff, if you Google, my name is Mark and you can count on it, you will get the 14-minute short that I saw. It's a documentary about his life.
Amazing.
And the making
Amazing.
Of those commercials that became like a late night staple in Ohio.
There you go. So I have to, anyway, that's like, it's very, very difficult to channel that vibe. Like you said, Troll 2, movies that are famous for being like so bad, they're good. Troll 2, The Room, those are have that because when you watch it, you can tell that no one was phoning it in. Everyone was trying really, really hard to make something good.
That's that fine line is like there is something in a world of overwhelming charmfulness, I will say,
yes.
where I would rather watch people absolutely fail giving 100%. Birdemic is a prime example. Why
Birdemic.
The Room works and nothing else that they have ever made with
yep.
the cast of The Room works. Like, it's,
yeah.
it's that...
Because they weren't making a comedy. They were trying to make a serious movie. And then when they realized they made a comedy, at least they were smart enough and savvy enough to run with it and make their money.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's fantastic. That's a great story of how that all went down.
It's
but,
what makes
but
the films
so
that
hard.
I show people at my house when I do Weird Ass Movie Night, when we sit down
yeah.
and we watch Plan 9 from Outer Space, The Robot Monster,
yeah.
like even these, mm-hmm. like it's what the Mystery Science Theater 3000 movies pull from is like,
exactly.
there's something
exactly.
charming about trying your best, absolutely failing, having no malicious intent. Like,
no.
Like, it's just like people wanted to make a movie. They really wanted to make a movie. And they went and made.
And they did.
Did you ever watch Mission Hill?
No.
Are you familiar with the show Mission Hill, like, at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So Mission Hill was, do you remember that, like, brief period of time where, like, UPN would make cartoons and nobody would watch them? And then, like,
yes.
10 years later, they would find their way onto Adult Swim?
Yes.
Mission Hill was one of those Adult Swim ones. It was a WB show that ran for one season, and then
wow.
like 2 years later, Adult Swim grabbed it. It's Brian Posehn, Tom Kenny, A couple other people.
Wow.
The theme song is Italian Leather Sofa by Cake.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe I haven't heard of this.
Oh, you would love it. But the very, very last episode is actually like a beautiful episode. So it's all about like, they never say it's New York, but they're living in a New York type place. And they have these two roommates who are an openly gay couple. And one is like a big jacked guy, and the other one is like a skinny movie theater projectionist that's voiced by Tom Kenny. So the final episode was called Plan 9 from Mission Hill, or How I Married a Gay Man from Outer Space. And it was about how the youngest kid becomes obsessed with movies and he starts hanging out with the projectionist, and he's learning about the art of filmmaking and like learns to appreciate all these huge movies. And then one day they're doing a special screening of a film that they thought was lost. And it turns out that that film was directed by the projectionist, and it's how he met his husband. But he's like actively tried to hide the movie because it was such a failure of a film.
Oh, wow.
And it's like them showing the movie and it becoming this cult sensation, but him being ashamed of it, like him like feeling like they're laughing at me, and then being like, no, they're laughing along with, like, they can tell that you cared. Like if you didn't care, they wouldn't love it as much.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very, that episode alone, like even if you watch it without any context, you will absolutely adore it.
No, that sounds like a show I have to check out for sure.
It would, anyway, be up your alley. But yes.
Yeah. I mean, so that was a tangent, but the point being that I wanted to make here is that, and this is obviously a smaller version of it, but in this context, I think Al does a really good job of channeling this type of a thing.
Yeah.
This absurd, clearly super small, low budget, no budget. We have to make a commercial for our store that sells spatulas, and that's all. And we're going to do it. And the way that it cuts to the different occasions, the way it cuts to the awkward, the super awkward, again, as we said, Cy Greenblum, who introduces himself and is like, you can see him like, again, not, this is not for the for the album version, but if you watch the video, that actor does it really well, where he just delivers this line so blankly and is constantly looking off screen, clearly like trying to read this script or whatever. He looks very nervous and he's trying to get this right. Hello, this is Cy Greenblum, president of Spatula City. Yeah. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company. Like those characters that he's trying to channel in this is, it really works. And then of course the absurdity as well, just the Spatula City now with 7 locations. And they also throw in on the, as just a visual gag, that they are open till midnight, which I really appreciate.
I mean, it's great. I think that there's a reason why, for some reason, people maybe not as obsessed with Al and UHF as us, who've only casually seen the movie. Spatula City is always this standout thing that almost everybody knows. Even if they were just flipping through the channels and it was on Comedy Central, he nailed this ad so beautifully that like it sticks out in everybody's brain.
I think the two things that any person who knows Al would know immediately about UHF without having seen the movie in a long time are Spatula City and You Get to Drink from the Fire Hose.
Yes.
I think those are like the two things that everybody would like. It's like instantly in your mind what that whole like setup is.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah. No, this is great. And again, this also feels like in a different world, this could have been an Al TV sketch.
1,000%.
And I feel like it makes me wish a little bit. So Gandhi 2 was borderline, but I really do love little sketches and bits like this. And I understand that for any record he makes that's not rooted in a film exactly like this, it wouldn't make quite as much sense. But I almost do wish that, because this is it. We're talking about, this is the last sketch like this that will appear on a Weird Al record ever. And a part of me does wish that he did a little bit more of it. All of his albums are very musical and the music is the whole focus and they're not sketch comedy records at all. But hearing something like this makes me think that if he had wanted to, he could have made albums like this and they would have been fantastic.
Yeah, no, you know I agree. Mean? Like I said it in the Gandhi 2 episode, but again, The Town Talk segment, I think, would have translated so beautifully because it's voiceover and Al reacting to what the voiceover is saying. It would have worked in a way.
And it's funny
way.
Because, you know, in later years, people who made comedy records like Adam Sandler has bits like this on his, like, comedians do stuff like this all the time. And in a way, as I'm saying it, like, it makes Al more unique that he has always been, at least on his records, music first.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most important thing. And we've talked about it before. He never, the music is always so deadly serious, and the recording and the process that they go through on making these records is so serious that maybe this type of thing out of the context of a movie just is, goes against that too much.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you brought up Sandler. His least popular album is my favorite one, which is What's Your Name? That's all music, no sketches.
All music.
It's just him.
He became more famous for the sketches, for sure.
Yeah, 1,000%. There's, you know, occasionally people reference the songs, but more than often than not, they talk about The Goat or Tollbooth Willie or Respect mm-hmm. or like any of these like ones that just kind of dug their heels into your memory banks and
it's
you couldn't
true.
Get them
Other
out.
Than Hanukkah Song, I think you'd probably be hard-pressed to find someone who could name a Adam Sandler
Maybe
tune.
The only other one would maybe be like Lunch Lady Land because of like yeah, the ones that were like
for the
SNL
average
sketches.
Person, that's a stretch, right?
Yeah, like yeah. It's, but yeah, it is, it's very interesting. Again, we're not going to rank these, but it was definitely worth doing the episodes on each one of them.
Absolutely.
Giving them
Absolutely.
Their individual flowers, as the kids say.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this. And again, this on this record, like I'm going back and forth now on the same idea. Like a part of me loves hearing this in the middle of an Al record. I understand and I actually do respect that he's just all about the music, generally speaking. But what a great little break this is in the listening to this record. Like every time Spatula City starts, it makes me smile yeah. instantly. Well, and hearing the wonderful walking bass line, just the old school like jazz.
That's a very the walking bass line makes me think of the Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence
yes.
sketch from Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's the hi-hat, vibe. Like super subtle jazz, and it's just that walking bass line the whole time. Yeah. It also he uses that a lot. It's a little jazz like cliche that he loves to reference. He uses that same element in a lot of his polkas. He yes. does the little jazz breakdown where at a certain point in the middle of it, suddenly it's just like, doom, 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 doom. Yeah,
he does and, love that jazzy bass walk.
Always, always, always.
Well, Matt, we might not be ranking Spatula City, but next week we also might not be ranking a song. We'll have to figure that out.
Well, and despite that it won't be on the list, I hope I made it clear that in my heart rankings, Spatula City ranks high.
Yes.
I this is a great, great, great sketch, and in the world of Al's sketch comedy, I think this ranks very, very high up.
I agree.
Maybe not as a song, but maybe one day we'll rank his sketches.
All,
that sounds
all two
very
of them?
Intimidating.
Yeah. I can spoil that for you right everything. Now. Spatula City 1, Gandhi 2 at number 2.
All right, new list, but we're going to wait till we get through everything else, and then we'll maybe you'll change your mind about Gandhi 2 by the time we get through Mandatory.
It's possible. Film. Anything can happen.
Entity has been growing. No one dares question where it was created or what it wants, but those who have been entranced by its musings chant its blood-curdling name in unison. Horror Movie Night!
Find Horror Movie Night on your favorite podcasting app or at hmnpodcast.com.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the What?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.